Chief, Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
2-2. Swung on and ripped deep into left field. It is back at the track, at the wall. Goodbye! Homer for Carlos Narvaez. El Capitan puts the Red Sox ahead 9-7.
Jones and Keefe live from day two, Patriots training camp here at Gillette Stadium. We are presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. That was the Red Sox last night, Keefe. Wow. I mean,
that was insane.
You just said it's a roller coaster season. That was a roller coaster game last night. Wild game, much needed win last night. Narvaez had a brutal weekend. A brutal stretch, rather, in Philadelphia. Came through with a big swing last night. Red Sox were down 5-0. They felt dead, and they really, really significantly needed that game last night.
Yeah, I think it was the game of the year. I don't think it's hyperbole or recency bias. It was the game of the year. It was a wild game. I can't remember one where you're like, they're going to lose. Then you're like, oh, my God, they're actually going to win. Then no, they're going to lose. Oh, I think they're going to win. Oh, no, they are going to lose. And then they won. Like, that's what happened. Like, every time. So they're down early, and, you know, Schwarber and Harper, and they're just giving up home runs left and right. You're like, this game is over.
Schwarber,
they're about
to Harper go back to back.
Yeah.
Then there were a couple more home runs. So they're down 5-0. I was, like, ready to shut it off. I'm
yeah,
like,
five
they're nothing. Dead.
5-0's gross. And you're like, all right, well, there's still a lot of game left. But you're like, that's a rough go of it. And then the next thing you know, you get a grand slam, and you're like, oh, they're winning. But then as soon as Realmuto homered, you're like, I know it's tied, but it felt like the game was over. And then they go into extra innings.
No, 100%. They
It's over. Like, they were going to win.
Chapman's done. You're like, they're screwed.
And we can get into Cora's use of Chapman and everything else. That's a big part of this whole game. But once they tied the game with Chapman, it was so deflating.
It's over.
Yeah, that was me. That was me at home having
100%
a 100%
how I felt, yeah.
And then the next thing you know, they go into extra innings. We're all very well aware of what their record is in extra innings. It seems like they lose all of them. In fact, they have lost all the road games.
I was just going to say, on the road prior to last night, they had lost every extra inning game. Yep.
And then they take the lead, and you're like, all right, maybe they're going to win this game. And then bottom of the 10th, they give it right back. Kyle Schwarber comes up with a hit, and you're like, oh, they're going to for sure lose. And then the next thing you know, Narvaez, you heard Will Fleming's call of it, El Capitan with the home run. And even then, I was like, are they going to win? But like, Philly's up again, and Philly's got some dudes. I don't know about this.
I felt like Duran, his at-bat in the top of the 11th, I felt like they needed to push one more across to really feel good.
I kind of agree. And you're like, all right, you've already used Chapman and Whitlock, so I'm like, this extra inning thing could go real sideways fast.
So let's go back, though, because you mentioned this quick, and the Patriots are just starting up team stuff here, so we'll keep our eyes on that, like real team stuff, because we weren't seeing much there earlier.
No, it was a lot of on-air kind of stuff.
So anything here, May looking, who is that? That's not Diggs.
That might have been, was that a Booty?
That's Booty.
That's a Booty.
That's Booty.
That's a Booty.
Out to the left side of the formation.
We're a pro Booty show.
Well,
you should see my Instagram.
But no, I thought Cora going to Bernardino in the 11th probably was the right move. My guy Alcala didn't really look like he had it.
Well, that's all they had left.
He was uncorking 100, but he has no idea where it's going.
No,
I loved bringing in Chapman to face Schwarber. I wasn't
in
sure.
In the seventh. Like, we've seen Chapman a bunch in the eighth inning.
One run game, get him in there.
No, I have no problem with it. That was aggressive, and I think it showed you. Cora feels the same way about that game and these games as we do. We're like, these are desperate times, right? And it's funny because the other day he sort of mentioned Sanchez and Wheeler, you got to kind of tip your cap to him. It's like, all right, you can only tip your cap so many times. Like, you need to win these games, and he had an opportunity to do it, and he has an all-star closer, and I give Chapman a lot of credit, too. I don't think a lot of closers would even be interested. If they're like, hey, get warmed up. I'd be like, dude, it's the seventh. I'm not going in.
Dude, the guy last year, and I said this, and I was wrong. I'm like, I think I'd rather have Kenley Jansen than Aroldis Chapman.
No way.
Wrong.
Right.
Jansen wouldn't do that.
No.
Jansen?
No.
Jansen's
God,
like,
no. He's like, give me a save situation,
pitch me
or I'm not playing.
In a save situation, I'm not coming in the seventh. I'm not coming in the eighth. And you're right. I mean, credit to Chapman. Noted good guy. Aroldis Chapman.
And you know what's also interesting? There's been a real turn in this.
That, by the way, was a connect. If you heard a little crowd reaction, that was a connection made to Diggs out in the right flat.
Garrett Whitlock only pitching one inning that's been the much more recent trend. Earlier in the year, it was a lot of two-inning performances from him.
I'll be consistent on this. I was like, why are you bringing Whitlock out for all these second innings? He's getting blown away.
I think they've sort of limited him, and he's actually been better.
He's been great.
Yeah.
They had limited Chapman. I don't know that Chapman had gotten up and down, like come out for the last out of an inning and then come back out. I don't know if that's true or not. He hadn't gotten more than three outs until last night. So anyway, I didn't mind bringing him in for Schwarber in the seventh. I wasn't even sure they were going to bring him back out for Harper to start the eighth. That was Diggs again, by the way, opposite side of the field. So May looking his way again.
Smart.
In these team drills. I didn't know they were going to bring him back out for Harper. I would have. I was surprised they stuck with Chapman against the righties after that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's like super egregious asking Chapman to get four outs in that spot to bridge the gap to the ninth. I just thought you brought in Chapman for the lefties. I thought they would go to maybe Weissert for two outs against righties and then Whitlock, or maybe Whitlock for two outs and then you ask Weissert to get the save. I wasn't really sure how they'd do it.
I know.
I was surprised, A, they brought Chapman back out for the eighth. I didn't hate it. I was surprised he stayed in after Harper.
Yeah, I would. I mean,
because he hasn't gotten more than three outs all year. They haven't asked him to do that.
No, but he's also a difficult guy, I think, to take out. Like, I would have been like,
oh, yeah. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you I saw that home run coming. Like, that shocked me when Real Muto hit that.
No, but I give Cora credit for the aggressiveness of putting him in there. And then once he gets those tough lefties, he is kind of rolling, and he's nasty. And it wasn't like it was a lot of pitches to get there. You're right. He doesn't get more than three outs. He usually doesn't. And whether that's him pitching in the eighth or not.
He hadn't this year.
Right. That's the first time. No, you're right. It's the first time. But I'm like, the guy's kind of rolling. I get it. You know, it's hard. He's been so good this year that I'd probably leave him. And then you're now saying, all right, now we have Whitlock in for the save. Now Whitlock can come in, just pitch the ninth and get the save. Obviously, that wasn't how it went out. And then you have Weissert in the 10th, and you're like on the edge of your seat. You're like, all right, he's going to give this up at any second. But no, they were super aggressive. They came up with some clutch hits as well. They actually put some runs on the board, which was great to see. And no, desperate times, but they needed that game. And they still go, you know, 2-4 on the road trip to start. But the way they ended each one of these series gives you like a little bit of hope, I guess.
We had our first sloppy play out of the first team offense. That was a fumbled exchange. Drake May and I'm guessing Bradbury. I'm trying to just see if Bradbury's standing with the rest of that group over there, 65.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that was a fumbled exchange. It was definitely May. And I think that's Bradbury out there. So keep our tabs on that here today. We didn't see a lot of that. I mean, one near turnover from May yesterday.
Yeah.
The floated ball to Peppers that he dropped. And then you get the fumbled exchange there. So that was the Red Sox that win last night. I mean, I do give Narvaez a lot of credit. He had a brutal weekend.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, by the way, not on their P's and Q's again last night. You like Rob Refsnyder losing track of the outs?
No, I don't care for that.
There were three outs. He caught the final out of the inning in left field, and then he's just like all out, put his whole body into a throw home. No one's there to catch it. No one's there to do anything. It was already the third out of the inning. He lost track of the outs.
No, but he was like, if there were two outs, this is one out. This is what I'm doing.
I mean, I don't even know where.
Great heads up.
The throw was uncorked to the on deck circle.
Hosed it.
So like a terrible throw
would have had him.
He lost track of the outs. Like that was a mess in that game.
Hey Rob, what are you doing?
There was also Trevor Story. This is probably underplayed, but Trevor Story has a nice catch on the sideline. Who was that? Is that Pop?
That might have been a little popsicle.
I think that was Pop Douglas with the second team offense. That was Dobbs who threw that one, but that was a nice catch.
Yeah.
Far side sideline by Dobbs.
Dobbs is due.
I mean,
Dobbs
he is
due for
after yesterday. By Douglas, rather.
Yep.
Had that catch. But no, Trevor Story, underrated, in extra innings, ran into an out.
Yeah.
Now, what was that? Was that the ninth? I'm trying to remember now. But he ran into an out when he was on base. I think it was the 10th inning. He ran into an out at third base where the Red Sox were trying to tack on more. So, poor base running, losing track of outs.
Yeah, no, that was 10th. That was the 10th inning when that happened. They had already scored the one. He actually had the double to score Duran.
He was standing at second, and then, right, next thing you know, he's getting cut down on a brain-dead play at third. So, the Red Sox still had plenty of that. They take one out of three from Philly. They take one out of three from the Cubs. I'm not telling you it's great, Keith, but I feel like that's the bare minimum they had to do. They couldn't have got swept in either of these series.
Yeah, it almost feels like when you're watching all these games or listening to all these games, it almost felt like they got swept, but then they were able to come up because they lost the first two games of these series, and you're like, oh, it's pretty ugly. You know, but then they were able to salvage the series. Not ideal, right? You're looking for them to stack series win, especially leading into the trade deadline, kind of force their hand, make sure that they add to this team. And the Phillies and Cubs are good, and the Phillies and Cubs have good starting pitching, and those guys were able to kind of hold them down. Now, one kind of positive, I guess you could say, about another good team that they're about to face starting tomorrow is back home against the Dodgers. You're really not facing great pitching.
Oh, I was just going to look that up. Well, the Dodgers aren't playing well. Are the matchups bad? I was actually just about to look that up.
The matchups are in the favor of the Red Sox, I would say.
Well, it's not. You told me this late in the show. Ohtani's now not pitching on Sunday.
Ohtani's not. And the guy that usually pitches after Ohtani or has, I think, is just going to get the start.
Oh, yeah. So Dustin May's pitching on Sunday. It's Sheehan.
Yeah, he stinks.
Tomorrow night. And then it's Crochet Kershaw on Saturday night.
Which is a great matchup on paper. I don't think Kershaw's Kershaw, though. Like he got like an all-star nod because it's like he's an old dude and this is his last season.
4-1, 327.
Oh, that's better than I thought. How many starts
only,
is he had?
Only 11.
Okay.
55 innings.
Okay, so, I mean, you're right. Kershaw's solid, but the Red Sox do have a good lineup against left-handers. So I would say they have the advantage, clearly, in that game with Crochet. And then the other two games, the way Walker Buehler's pitching, I know you don't want to like bet the house on it, but he's going up against his former team. He has the advantage there. And then we'll see what Brian Baio does on Friday. So, but I'm also like for the hitters, you know, they get mowed down by Sanchez. They get mowed down by Wheeler for the most part. I feel like they got a much better chance in this series coming up.
Me too. And it's nice to know in both these wins, the game Sunday against the Cubs and the game last night. I mean, those are games where you felt dead and lifeless.
Yeah,
and
the
offense wasn't doing anything. You know, the game against the Cubs, the big hits were Abreu and Bregman. Yesterday, you got the big hit out of Romy Gonzalez.
Also, being down 5-0, it's not just that you were down 0-2 in the series, but you're down 5-0 in the game, and it's like, all right, we're kind of done here.
Did you see the stat they were flashing? It was like 66, 67 straight games the Phillies hadn't lost when they led 5-0, something like that, maybe at home.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And the Red Sox were able to break through. So it took them a while to do it.
Uh-huh.
It was a roller coaster if you were watching. It wasn't perfect from the Red Sox, but they did enough to get a victory, which wasn't feeling like something they were going to get done.
No.
We got Brad Foe coming your way at 11:30. He joins us every Thursday on Jones and Keefe. We're live at Patriots training camp for day two here at Gillette Stadium. We're brought to you by McFarland Energy. Sam Kennedy was on the Greg Hill show today.
Front office report.
Front office report every week, Thursdays at 9.
Yep.
Let's start with, if we can, Nick, go in order here with the way the interview progressed. Sam Kennedy was asked about the biggest needs at the deadline. He kind of echoed Alex Cora yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. This is what Sam Kennedy thinks the Red Sox need at this trade deadline.
You can never have enough pitching. I mean, I've just been in this for so long. Usually the team with the most lockdown bullpen, team with a great rotation, are teams that are built to go deep in the postseason. That said, I can tell you there's a lot of outbound phone calls being made down the hall in baseball operations, looking at ways to upgrade our defense at certain positions, catcher, first base, right-handed, left-handed. I mean, we're looking, trying to uncover all opportunities to improve this team. That said, when you've got 20, 21 teams at this point trying to do the same, it's challenging. So my guess is it'll come right down to the end as it usually does.
Okay, so I hate the end of that answer. It's going to come down to the
end. There's a lot in there, actually.
A lot of teams have a lot of needs, which goes back to the Passan report yesterday that, oh, well, the Red Sox are an efficient organization and this is not an efficient time of year. I hate the end of the answer, but a few things to glean earlier in the answer.
Yeah, so a couple things jumped out to me. So he does say pitching, and you're like, hey, you need pitching. But then the first part of that he mentions is teams win with a lockdown bullpen.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. And I mean, he mentions all this. He mentions starters. He mentions righty-lefties. We get into the rest of the answer. But the first specific thing he mentions,
lockdown bullpen,
is a lockdown bullpen, which, listen, that'd be great. I would like the team to be better in all regards. I still think starting pitching and a bat are more important needs than bullpen. And it makes you just wonder, the conversations he has had with Craig Breslow, he also points out Breslow's been doing a lot of calling out, which also makes me feel, we can't give him credit because they haven't made any moves yet, but it makes me feel better that this slow start in the second half hasn't changed the conversation. Like,
right,
they're still very much making calls. They want all these things.
Well, if they're paying any attention to the way Giolito's pitched,
yeah,
which was awful again. Like, we haven't even said that, but awful again last night.
Home run ball.
And like, I'm not telling you the guy sucks. He's been pretty good, but you can't rely on him as a 2 or a 3. Same thing with Brian Baio, who pitches on tomorrow night, against the Dodgers.
But doesn't it make you feel like the conversations he has had with Breslow would point to a lot of relief pitching if his first thing he says is teams that win have a lockdown bullpen?
I think it's totally fair. Yeah. I think that's totally fair to say the first thing he highlighted was lockdown bullpen. Did you notice what he highlighted when he got to the bats, or as he put it, the defensive alignment?
Catcher, first base.
Catcher before he said first base.
So catcher? So I know it was a wonky couple of games for Carlos Narvaez with the catcher's interference and stuff. But he's been one of the better defensive catchers in baseball.
Correct. This is why
ask Nick.
It's got to be a Connor Wong upgrade. They need a backup.
This is also what I think. I think you bring in another catcher in case.
I know.
You hedge against Narvaez. No, so it wouldn't be top of my list either, but I think they could use one.
They definitely could. Connor Wong shouldn't be playing. Connor Wong has had a horrible season.
But he also
plays anyway.
Right, but you also might need to hedge against Narvaez dropping off because he hasn't been as good.
Okay.
In the last few home run aside last night, the offense has dropped off. It was a huge home run, but the offense has dropped off, and he had a rough defensive series. So I think it's a double where you hedge against a drop off from Narvaez and you upgrade your backup.
But that's also sort of setting up for what would be a really disappointing deadline.
Correct.
Which is 1 week from today, and we all want a starting pitcher and a bat. And if they turn it around and get a backup catcher and a reliever,
that would suck.
But that's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. So, look, those things can be on the list. I'll take a reliever.
First baseman? Yes, please.
I'll take a catcher. But what I want, maybe even more than a starting pitcher these days, is a big right-handed bat that can play first base. That's what I want.
You want a bullpen arm?
And they're like,
a guy that plays over Connor Wong?
Let's give you a guy who plays once a week on Bayo's starts. He's his personal catcher. Like, no, I don't want that.
A Doug Mirabelli type. And a relief pitcher like they got last year with Lucas Sibbs and whatever it was. The guys that just poured gasoline on themselves.
What was the other?
Garcia?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Luis Garcia.
Luis Garcia and Lucas Sibbs. Horrible.
Yeah, Danny Jansen was your right-handed
horrible
back catcher. So, like, if you do that again, trust me. Brez Pro, as bullish as they come.
I know.
Craig Breslow. But I told you.
He has 1 week to either keep you on his side or to turn you against him.
The trade deadline for him is massive because it was so bad last year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the other baseball moves he's made are pretty good.
No, he had a great offseason, and that's nice.
And
now you have to build off of that.
I think even look to last year's offseason. He wasn't allowed to do much, Keith. But I think even look at it, it's like Roman Gonzalez can play.
Yeah.
Like Giolito has worked out. The extensions for Rafaela and Bayo.
Yeah, I mean Giolito's been all right.
Okay, but he didn't
pitch last year.
No, but he's been good. But he's impacting the team this year.
No, he's been better than not.
He knew he wasn't going to pitch last year.
He impacted the team for a month.
Okay, what is he at? I'm looking at what are his actual stats right now, even after the last two crappy ones.
Yeah, what are his stats for the season? I would say his ERA is 3.97.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I'll take this. Well, it's fine.
But I'm saying. His deadline is what really...
He gave up 4 home runs yesterday.
And that wasn't good. His deadline is really what's awful, though. You know what I mean? Like, the other stuff doesn't even, in retrospect, look that awful. His offseason last year didn't look that awful.
I'm with you. He's built a solid team. The trade deadline left a little something to be desired. However, I do feel like, and Sam kind of reiterated it again today, I think Breslow and Sam have talked differently about this team than they did last year's team. Even though as our guy Terp with the stat of the week, same record through 100 games, it just still feels different. Sam Kennedy was asked about it today. He even brought up Crochet. He went through a lot of the same reasons that we went through as to why the team, despite the record being pretty much identical, it feels better. And therefore, last year they were kind of like, "Hey, we're kind of playing with house money," meaning like this team shouldn't be as good as it is. Let's make some moves so we can show the fan base and Alex Cora that we made a few moves. But it was all dumps. It was all guys that were useless guys.
Yep.
But they made moves. This year, you're not going to get by with that. You're not going to get celebrated for Danny Jansen and James Paxton. Like, now the expectation is way, way higher.
And it should be.
And it absolutely should be.
It should be. They're sitting there again, tied for the second wild card with a big win last night. I know we're running a little late, Nick. Let me just hear the other answer from Sam Kennedy this morning. He was asked directly about the Jeff Passan report from yesterday. Here's his response.
Yeah, we're looking to improve, Chris, and Passan and Alex and all these guys talked to lots of different people. I'm not sure where those reports specifically come from, because I can tell you there's been going all the way back to December, January, February, there's been an urgency around this organization to – be as competitive as possible in 2025, and really excited about the group that we have. So there's a lot of activity in terms of preparing the fan base for what may happen. It would be foolish to try and predict here, because when you get into the trade deadline, emotions run high across all of baseball, and players who may not be available today may be available just 4 or 5 days from now. So not really sure the direction it's going to go. We'll just continue to monitor all opportunities and see what might be available as we get closer to the 31st.
Okay, so he got away from the promises he made early there. The promise early was we're going to have urgency. We want to be as competitive as possible in 2025.
But now it's emotional time.
So I'm going to hold him to that. Yeah. I'm going to hold him to that. I'm going to hold Breslow to that. They better do what they can to be as competitive as they can be in 2025 and show urgency. Those are his words. We're going to hold him to that.
You know what I was thinking watching the game last night, or really this whole series, is, you know, as you're watching Kyle Schwarber, Sock Dingers, and Dave Dombrowski put this team together, you're like, all right, here's this Phillies team, which is really, really good. Feels like they could go on a run. They're for sure going to get one of the five biggest trade targets. They're for sure going to add somebody. They're going to get like Suarez, or they're going to get somebody big and add to their team, which really has probably less needs than a lot of the other top contending teams. But they're still going to be aggressive. You can see it coming.
Did you hear them mention last night on the broadcast the Phillies might move Castellanos?
No, I missed that.
I mean, I wonder if that's a righty bat that the Red Sox could get in on. And that, I know he's more outfielder
these
days.
Well, if any major life event happens, you know he's going to sock a dinger. So there is that.
It's true. Yeah. But
you hear what Marloni called him the other day?
No.
The worst defensive outfielder in baseball.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't blame him in the outfield, but as a right-handed bat at DH, that might be useful.
He's sitting there and he like fielded a ball.
Left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
He like fielded it. I don't know if it was it might have been Roman Anthony's double off a Wheeler or something. And then Lou just like with a drive by, he's like, he's the worst defensive outfielder in baseball.
I didn't catch.
I was like, oh, okay,
nice. Well, thanks for letting us know, Lou. 617-779-7937. Eyes on day two, Patriots training camp. Jones and Keefe here at Gillette, as we will be all week and into next week for Pats training camp, even beyond. We'll continue with all your feedback coming up. Kiefer Madness at 12:45 every Thursday. We talk to Rob Bradford. WEEI and baseball isn't boring. He joins us right after Trending with Billy Lanning.